And so, yeah, if you hang out with five millionaires, you'll be the sixth. If you hang out with five morons, you'll be the sixth. Either way, right? It works for the good or the bad.
Yep.
Here we go again. Mark and Mike telling you what they think, even when they're not really thinking. Welcome to It Doesn't Take a Genius.
Ramsey!
Marshall, it's a pleasure to see you again. I have a visual aid that I've not shown you, but I would like to show you now.
Ooh, I'm going to
show you. Yeah, you should be. I mean, obviously, it's going to be huge. I'm going to show you something that I have accomplished. All right. I want to show you all the books that I've read. I've read more books than this, but over the last few years, I have read all of these books. It's a fairly tall stack. It's a lot of big heavy hitters. Plato's Republic, Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America, the Iliad, Augustine's Confessions, a series of other smaller books, The Rule of Saint Benedict, and so on. I have read a lot of classic works. I mean, I can't even hold it in my hands. I'm dropping it now, so I'm just going to set it aside here. I read all this.
Oh, yeah. Well, for those of you listening on the podcast, you have to picture a stack of books scrolling through the screen like the opening credits of Star Wars.
That is a fair statement, I think.
Yeah, so it just kept going. I was like, it's huge, and it just, you know, it just keeps going. And it's not like you were reading the 24 delightful pages of Who Moved My Cheese.
Right.
I mean, all right. So this was quite a commitment, big commitment. And so you single-handedly set out on this quest to further your knowledge by reading these books.
I see what you've done there. I see what you've done there by saying single-handedly. So yeah, let me just share with you how this happened. I joined a book club.
Woo!
That was the commitment that I made. Once a month we get together. We do it by Zoom because we're all in different states. We had met through an online class we had taken and just decided we wanted to keep on meeting. A few of us did. And so about once a month, I know that I'm going to be responsible for talking about some books on Zoom with some really smart people that I really like. And I don't want to disappoint them. And I like their company. So I read these books and maybe even take a few notes and write in the margins so that I come prepared to talk. And it's a, you know, what, an hour and a half commitment outside of just reading the book itself to be on these Zoom calls. And I've cranked through and absorbed more classical literature than I did through my whole honors college experience. I feel like that may be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I mean, I'm truly doing this for pleasure and for being able to retain it and being able to use it. And I just am telling you that this has been a huge benefit for me, and it's all thanks to joining a book club.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. Yeah, and when you think about it, right, the first thought in my head is like you had a gym buddy.
And yeah.
You know, we talk about if you want to stay on track with your workout routine, you got to partner up with one or more people.
Yes.
That are going to show up when you don't feel like it. And then now you know, and people have told us different reasons why this works. And some of it is guilt. You know, I don't want to let the other people down. I feel bad if I didn't show up and they did. And so I kept my commitment. And so instead of a gym buddy, you have book buddies.
That's 100% right.
So yeah, the book buddies with a regularly scheduled get together have kept you on track with doing something. And this is the key piece here, that you've kept up doing something that you already wanted to do.
That's exactly right. I wanted to read these books forever. I've owned these books for a very long time in many cases, and I still hadn't read them. Doggone it, that's got to change. And we formed this book club, and next thing you know, we're off to the races.
Well, that's fantastic. And so, yeah, in this case, you found your tribe. And tribe from the standpoint of here's like-minded people, similar goals, similar ambitions, similar motivations. And this seems like, you know, none of us are as strong as all of us.
Yeah.
And so we all came together, and I would imagine that maybe you guys talked about this in your book club. Other people probably expressed the same thing, that I had this book for 20 years sitting on the shelf. It's right there. Never read it until I got together with you fine folks.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because a couple of them are actually in multiple book clubs. Now, to fully appreciate that, these are people who are teachers. And so some of these books they're absorbing, not just because they find them beautiful and use them in life, but because they use them at work too. And so there are some, you know, extenuating circumstances, I suppose you could say. But yeah, like I really want to read these books. So I'm going to join book clubs to make sure that I do that. That's sort of, part of what's going on here. And, you know, you were talking about, sort of a group of us getting together. That's a tribe. You reminded me of Benjamin Franklin. And I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast. It's going to be in my book, The Lost Tools of Business. But, you know, Franklin, for all his many faults, I don't think he was very kind to his wife and had some interesting family relationships. But the guy knew how to become a better version of himself. And when he was, I think, like 20 or 21, I mean, very early on, he was still very hungry, you know, trying to grow into a career. He formed a group called the Junto. And I can't remember what word it was based on, but the Junto was this group of, associates. They were mainly, you know, tradesmen, some artisans, and they formed sort of this self-improvement society. And they met on a regular basis. They were expected to come prepared to answer some very specific questions. They were to have read something about morals or political theory even you know sort of natural philosophy. The group went on for 38 years, I believe.
Wow.
38 years. Now I don't think Franklin was even involved that entire time, but you know when you think about okay, that's great. They had a club, you know. Well, Franklin definitely benefited. I mean, he became a better version of himself. But like a lot of good things happened for America. The first lending library, I think it was a brainchild of that group. I think the University of Pennsylvania, one of the Pennsylvania schools came out of it. They had the firefighting idea that Franklin had was out of the Junto. And I believe there was something around insurance that Franklin was also involved with that came out of that. You know, just all, this whole field of things being created from this group that decided we're gonna hold each other accountable and expect to come and get better with each other. We're expecting you to come and me to come with something that makes us better. So for 38 years or so, they had this thing working to where person after person was growing and developing. And by the way, the community benefited. So,
man, that's amazing when you think about it lasting that long. The developments that came out of that, I have a sense that they were probably meeting in one of two ways, or probably in two different ways. One is in person, and the other, you know, back in that time, they tended to write nice, long, lengthy letters, handwritten letters, not, you know, crafted by the colonial AI, but
I don't think they used artificial intelligence. I think they actually did, like, one of the wealthier members, because they Franklin didn't have a lot of money at that point. One of the wealthier members eventually got them moved from the pub that was kind of noisy to his house or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it was, I think the big part of that was, face to face with specific questions that you knew you were going to be answering. And I'm trying to look here if I can give you an example. Here's one that we'll all, relate to in the business world. Question number 5. Have you lately heard how any present rich man, here or elsewhere, got his estate? They were asking how people got rich, you know?
Yeah. What's the secret? Yeah.
What's the secret, you know? Questions about, you know, tell me something interesting that you recently read that would help us. Skimming here. Is there any man whose friendship you want and which the junto or any of them can procure for you? You know, coming at it with, you know, like, I got a need here. This is it was coming prepared to know that this is the kind of stuff that we're going to do for each other and what I'm going to do for you that I think was, you know, part of the secret. We had a relationship, you know, a real relationship with each other.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. And I love the fact that their questions are still around. A question is worth its weight in gold. So, yeah, that's absolutely priceless. So we fast forward to now, and I think we can sum up the greatest positive thing that we have in relation to this, and the greatest detriment can all be summed up both in two words.
Okay.
Social media.
Oh yeah.
So now it is easier than ever, to find your tribe.
Yep.
You know, my daughter's getting ready to move, and she's looking for like-minded people in the new city. You know, different interests. You just go on the old, the Facebook there, the Meta, and you type in a few words, and all of a sudden, boom! Here's 20 different communities of people interested in the same thing you're interested, similar demographics, similar likes, dislikes. I mean, it's crazy. So finding your tribe is easy as it's ever been in the history of the world. The detriment of that is,
but
as we found out during the pandemic, when we tried to interact with each other virtually through Zoom and Teams and things like that, we found that it was incredibly ineffective to only meet in the virtual space.
Yeah.
Learning did not take place. The sharing of ideas, the brainstorming, the collaborate, it just doesn't work yet in this virtual space. I think someday they'll figure it out, but right now it doesn't. So now I've found my tribe, but at the same time, I'm isolated from my tribe if I don't take it a step further and get together with them in person.
So I 100% agree with you. I think my group would 100% agree with you. And we have yet to meet in person.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that out of all of them, one of them I have met briefly at a conference. The rest of us, we have just been put together because we all took an online class together. Now we have hopes and, you know, for, you know, looking into the future, we're hoping to meet together. So the question, I guess, becomes, how did we make this work? Because we're not talking about a team here, right? Like teams, you know, they have a common goal. They're sharing in the risks and the rewards. And that's not per se what we're doing. We're a group. We have similar interests. We're a tribe. Mm-hmm. I've thought about this and we've talked about it actually as a group, because we've been going for several years now, and we kind of have a de facto leader and cheerleader. Lara is our head. Lara is the one who drives. And we keep getting together because there are these books that we'd really like to look at as a group, you know, so we get something out of this. But I don't think that I don't think it would work if I just said, hey, Facebook, looking to see if anybody wants to read Plato's Republic. I don't think it would have the same effect as these folks, where we already were cross-pollinating in a class and realized, oh, we do kind of get each other, and really, you know, we're stoked by each other. You know, we get something out of the interaction and hearing the other person's thoughts that are stimulating to us. So I think that had to be the start to let it grow. And having somebody who's sort of shepherding us along, it was also a big part of that too. Not a leader, it's not a team, but somebody that's shepherding us.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. In the world of families, I call it the glue person.
Yep.
The person that helps us all stick together. And without that person, we wouldn't stick together. We kind of drift apart.
Yep.
So the glue person just holds us all together. And then once we're together, yeah, good stuff ensues, but somebody has to glue us all together. So when you think about this, you think, okay, so yeah, if I find my tribe on some sort of social media platform, I have to take it to the next level. And even if it's a virtual meetup kind of thing or some sort of commitment to each other, in person would be better, but virtual works if we can agree upon some actions and some deeper understanding, deeper knowledge, deeper sharing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we keep talking about the good stuff that you get, you know, when you're glued together and you know, you have these good things happen. It's probably worth repeating what you said shortly before we started how did your priest put it that, you had heard a priest say?
Yeah, he was talking about the importance of coming to church. You know, you can sit home and read your Bible and do, you know, Bible studies, but religion is best when practiced in community.
Practiced in community.
Yep. Yeah. When you're sitting there and you're surrounded by like-minded folks,
yep.
There's a comfort in that. There's an expectation in that. Those are the people that will help you stay on track.
Yeah.
Just by their presence and just by their example. If they take it a step further, even better. But just by their presence and example, I'm better able to stay on track.
So you could think about hermits, right? There are some hermits who have achieved
and I often do.
You'd be surprised how often it comes up, Mike.
Had four kids like you, I would be thinking about the hermit lifestyle often.
Thought that every mother should get a chance to write an autobiography that says, "Just let me poop." My story.
Yes. Calgon, anyway. Take me away.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But hermits, I mean, have done some amazing things for society in general. You can look to the, I guess they'd be called the Desert Fathers, early leaders in the Christian church that went off on their own. And, you know, some did some crazy things, living in caves forever and balancing on poles and all sorts of weird stuff. And, you know, how did that work? Well, one of the things that got sussed out by those hermits and some of the folks that came after them was this concept in Christianity of the Trinity. So we believe there's one God, and the Father's God, the Son's God, the Spirit's God. In other words, God, there is one God, and even God himself is a community. So even within the concept of God himself, there is a community that is completely self-sufficient and doesn't need us, but there's so much love there that it spills over into he created us and wants us to be a part of his family. Oh, and guess what? That means we're a family. Now we're back into community, right? So even the hermits were in community with God would have been how they would have looked at it, right? Mm-hmm. And so you take even a hermit's example and start following it through. Wherever there's community, good stuff ends up happening. You know, look to ancient Greece and what happened in Athens when just all of a sudden, I think they call it the Greek miracle. You know, there was this 100, 200 year period where you had, you know, art, philosophy, literature, all these things taking forward leaps, politics, government, all these things just absolutely exploding into a civilization that we're still in today. They were all there together in Athens, you know, walking together and eating together and so on. The founding fathers, you know, Benjamin Franklin and the Junto is one thing, but, you know, fast forward a few years and you had a group of men who were dedicated to some ideals and came together. And even the ones that didn't really like each other, you know, like Jefferson and Adams were enemies. And, you know, late in life, they're trading letters back and forth. Like you said, you know, sometimes it's the written word and they're translating Latin together, you know, trying to figure out different passages of ancient texts. There were things that blossomed as a result of these communities, these specific ones we're mentioning. And any team is a community too. We could talk about all sorts of different examples of teams that have achieved great, great, great things. I guess what I'd just like to say, the reason I wanted to do this podcast is I think that if anybody here wants to grow, they're going to need to be intentional about finding that tribe. They need mm-hmm. to find that community and figure out how to plug in to somebody who's going to stir them up a little bit, whether it's through accountability, a little bit of the guilt, the good stuff that they're looking to get from the other people, some stimulation from these other folks that will really and truly help them grow in life. Book of Hebrews in the Bible, just one more Christian example. There's the place where, a lot of people cite it, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. In other words, you're supposed to meet, you're supposed to go to church. It's in there. But if you read the rest of it says, in order that we may stir one another up toward love and good deeds.
Right.
That's the goal, to stir one another up toward whatever the community is supposed to be about. So anyway, I just want to give people that vision of, maybe you don't have it at work in your department. Maybe I don't know what the club is that you need to join. For some folks, it's a 12-step program. It's meeting, in your AA meetings and NA meetings. But you need a team, you need a community that you can get with to help you do some of that growth. So go find that tribe. Be intentional about it.
Oh yeah. Well, and you think about it, right? We've discussed the concept of you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yes. Yes.
And so yeah, if you hang out with five millionaires, you'll be the sixth. If you hang out with five morons, you'll be the sixth. So, either way, right? It works for the good or the bad.
Yep.
My mom had a different expression. She said, if you lay with dogs, you get fleas.
Yep.
Okay, what's that mean? Well, it was just this, her version of this modern concept. So, yeah. Find your purpose, find your people. And the other thing that you could think about this is, if you change your tribe, you change yourself. If I want to be more, do more, be different, then I find people who are already on that path, and I associate with them. I become part of that tribe, and it's more likely that I will continue on that path.
And we probably should do a follow-up episode at some point on boundaries, because that's something that I think a lot of people in our modern day struggle with is, this is the group of people that I'm with, and I don't know how to not be with these people in a way that's, a civil next step where I'm ending this and moving on to something that's better for me and my family. Mm-hmm. But I think you're spot on. I think you're absolutely spot on.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was, yes, I don't remember where I heard it, but yeah, somebody said a long time ago, you got to let your freak flag fly so the other like-minded freaks can find you.
Yeah.
you gotta let people know this is something I'm interested in. This is something I'm passionate about. This is, reading the great literary works of all time. Right. I let that, put that flag out there. Other people saw it. We came together. And now we have a tribe centered around that.
Yep.
So letting people know this is where I want to go. This is who I want to be. This is my passion. And then can I gather a group around that? Yeah, that to me sounds like a pretty amazing life.
Yeah. So basically, if you implement this particular podcast, you've just changed your life. I mean, it's that simple of a concept and that dramatic of a concept. And so we hope somebody does that. And if you do, get in touch and let us know, in 5 years, what's changed.
Oh yeah. Well, and that was incredibly profound, but I also know somebody who's really not impressed, and that would be our announcer, Mr. Wolf, who keeps us humble.
No comment.
And we appreciate him providing that service free of charge, I might add.
He does.
So yeah, thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe, smash the like button,
smash it,
hit the bell so you're notified when the next episode lands. And we'll continue to build our tribe around It Doesn't Take a Genius.
And that's a wrap. It Doesn't Take a Genius, the blog dedicated to reducing the irreducible. Next time, prime numbers. What makes them so special? Join us then. And thanks for listening.
That's good enough.